Are you ready to experience eternal life? Pastor Ray Bentley says you can start experiencing it right here, right now.
Eternal life is not just the duration of how long you will live with God in the presence of God, but it's a quality of life. And in that sense, eternal life actually has already begun. You don't have to wait till you die and go to heaven to begin experiencing eternal life. You already have eternal life.
Spread the news. All of His people coming bow before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. When we share Christ, we often talk about avoiding hell and going to heaven. But that's delayed gratification in capital letters. Today, Pastor Ray shows us that life more abundant can start right now. It's a slice of heaven on earth. We're in Titus as Pastor Ray continues our study of Paul's words.
Let's open our Bibles to the book of Titus. If you're joining us today, we're in the book of Titus. Kind of just working our way now through the New Testament. We happen to be in a section of books called the Pastoral Epistles. We finished 1st, 2nd Timothy, and now we are in the book of Titus, chapter 1. We'll be looking at verses 5 through 9. The title of the message is Character and Characters. I think that this will make more sense as we get into our study. God is very much interested in character. Have you noticed that? He's very much in... Hello. Have you noticed that God... Yes, okay. Yes. And yet there are characters. God doesn't want us to be all cookie cutter, you know, look the same. There's a tremendous variety of personalities and individuals. And by the way, I think we have got a healthy dose of characters within our own church here. I'm talking about all of you, of course. So let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you and pray and ask that the Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts, lead and guide us into the truth, and that knowing the truth will be set free as never before. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And everyone said, amen. All right, beginning in verse 1, Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, in other words, that God chose you. And I love that. We talked about how, you know, we think that becoming a Christian is like, well, I don't know if I'm going to believe or not. And, you know, well, give me some evidence and I'll think about it. And then finally that you heard the gospel in some way and you came to this dramatic decision to follow the Lord. But it's later on that you discover that actually God chose you first. It's not so much just that you chose the Lord, but that He chose you. Obviously, to have a relationship, it takes two people. If one chooses another and the other doesn't choose them back, that is not that does not constitute a relationship. It takes two. So you say, well, I chose the Lord and the Lord chose you. But then we find out, when did God choose you? He didn't choose you. Oh, look, he's accepted me. Well, then I accept you. No, the Bible says, before the foundations of the earth were laid, God chose you and I, that we should be holy and blameless and before Him. Think about it. Before God ever said, let there be light, God knew you, chose you, elected you, made plans in light of you. Then began the creation on its way to where you and I are. So that's how Paul begins. So the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. There it is again. And we mentioned that eternal life is not just, some Christians think that eternal life is, okay, now I believe in the gospel, I've got Jesus in my heart, and then I will one day die, and then I will go to heaven and begin my eternal life with God. Well, it is true that eternal life does last forever, but that's not all that it means. Eternal life is not just the duration of how long you will live with God in the presence of God, but it's a quality of life. And in that sense, eternal life actually has already begun. It's already in you. That quality of life, you don't have to wait till you die and go to heaven to begin experiencing eternal life. You already have eternal life by the presence of the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of your heart now. And your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So in the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began, but has in due time manifested his word through preaching. Now here we are, that was 2,000 years ago, and God has not changed his methods. God still reaches people through what sometimes the world calls the foolishness of preaching. God uses human beings that he has called for his glory. And so that's what I am. I am a pastor, teacher, preaching the word of God and the message of the gospel. And so then, rather than being elevated by this, Paul also says, and those whom God has chosen to preach the gospel, he has chosen the foolish things to confound the wise. So that's the category I'm in. I'm in the foolish things. And as we go on this morning, you'll find out just how foolish I am. But, so, he now says, through the preaching which was committed to me according to the commandment of God our Savior, to Titus, a true son in our common faith. Paul had two spiritual sons that he mentored and discipled. One was Timothy, who was Jewish and that was raised as a believing, I suppose you would say, Orthodox Jew. And Paul came and preached to him. And Timothy became a believer, and Paul adopted Timothy into his heart as his own son. But Paul also had a second adopted spiritual son. His name was Titus, whom we have here. Titus was not Jewish. He was a Gentile. So Paul was setting up and setting the stage for the church that would reach both Jew and Gentile, and as the Bible says, make of them one new man in the body of Christ. To Titus, a true son in our common faith, grace, mercy, and peace, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. For this reason, I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. If a man is blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination. For a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, and not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word as has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convict those who contradict. So Paul is telling Titus, he says, there in Crete, I want you to appoint elders. Usually when Paul would go to an area, he would appoint elders in a particular church. Men that were godly, that were mature, that had been seasoned by life, that had a personal relationship with God, that could help mentor and disciple within the various churches. Usually Paul would be the one to appoint elders. But he was moving so fast, going on this missionary journey all throughout the Roman Empire, he didn't have time in this particular area of Crete. So he said, Titus, I'm calling on you. You appoint elders. So there was a real need for leadership then within the church. And how many would agree there is a need for leadership in our days as well, in general, not only within the church, but in the world? Now, Crete is an island. It's about 75 miles south of Greece. And the Cretans are descended from the ancient tribes of the Philistines. You remember the Philistines, how they bothered and hassled and harassed David so much. And they were, Crete is not a big island, but being an island, if you, any of you have ever lived on an island or been part of island life and life culture, there's a lot that has to do, obviously, with the sea and with the ports and with ships and with sailing and sailors. So also with Crete, the Cretan people were very involved with the sea. It was their trade, their commerce, their business. They were great sailors, and they were also pirates. Titus 1:12, Paul goes on to say, and he gives the reputation of the Cretan people. He says, this is their saying. You know how a different geographical locations can have a reputation. Here was the reputation of the Cretans. He goes, here's even your own people say, Cretans are always liars, evil brutes, lazy gluttons. How would you like to have that as a reputation? Now, he doesn't just say, and this was their saying apparently, it's not just that they're liars, brutes, and gluttons, but they're always liars, they're evil brutes, and they're lazy in their gluttony. So that was their reputation. And I find it interesting that basically in 2,000 years ago on this island of sailors and pirates, the Apostle Paul came and preached the gospel. And the Lord planted a body of believers within that culture. How cool is that? And as, you know, in my vivid imagination, I began to wonder, what was that like? And of course, you know, we have the pirates of the Caribbean. These were the pirates of the Mediterranean. What was it like when the Apostle Paul came into a church and there's Paul preaching to these guys? And some of them believe. Some of them become saved. And they form this little fellowship and start ministering to them. Now, I want you to notice also that Paul says here that elders, or the appointment of elders, he does not say the election of elders. Now, here, with my own life, and just give a little bit of my story and testimony. We live here in San Diego. What do you think is San Diego's reputation? Crete has its reputation that we've talked about. What do you think of the other 49 states, or let alone the rest of California, when they think San Diego, what comes into their mind? What are some words, some ideas? Okay, paradise, surf. What's another word that thinks San Diego, everybody is laid back. Relax. Yeah, Chargers. Padres. But here's what's different about, let's say, going to the Dodger game or going to the Yankee game. What would maybe be different for people visiting, let's say from out of state, and they come to the Petco Park and they come to a Padre game, and all of a sudden it's hot, and out comes a beach ball. A beach ball! Bouncing and bouncing around. It's like, that is, you realize other states and other cities, and they go, what is up with you guys? Because we're laid back, and we're playing, you know, beach ball during a baseball game. Is that crazy? Am I alone in thinking that's crazy? It's crazy. So you've got this, surfing, kickback, relaxed. That's our reputation. But you know what? Being a pastor, God's given me a real burden for this city, for the city of San Diego. And I would like to say, okay, Lord, I didn't think I would be here this long, but I am here this long, and you may tarry. It feels like you're coming any day now, but what if you don't come? And what if I'm here for the next 30 years of ministry? I would like San Diego to have another, let's say, if not to remove other reputations, I'd like to at least add one. And the one I'd like to add is that the believers in Jesus Christ in San Diego are passionate about God. They are unashamed and unafraid and in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. The churches are on fire. The people pray. They love the Word of God. They share the gospel, whether on the beaches or in their communities and in the suburbs, and they love God. Amen? I would love to have that reputation. Now, when the Lord called me, here's my unique, adventures, the appointment or where finally Chuck laid his hands upon me. I met, I grew up in several denominational churches, was headed in that direction. God did for me a different U-turn. At a certain point, at a very critical time, when I was 17 years old, I heard Pastor Chuck Smith speak out in East County in El Cajon. And he preached a message that I remember to this day. And it's when I was 17. That's a long time ago. I remember vividly what he preached. The Gospel of John, chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. He was standing there and he said, Jesus stood up on the last day, the great day of the feast, and he cried out, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. For out of his innermost being shall gush forth rivers, torrents of living water. And this he spake of the Holy Spirit that was to come. I listened to that message and it It was one of those turning points in my life. It riveted me. And I said, I want to learn how to love God and know God and teach the Bible like this man. I was getting ready to go to college. And so I immediately said, I'm going to go up and ask him, where did you go to Bible school? That's where I will go. I don't care where it is, how much it costs, how long it takes. That's what I'm going to do. So I walked up and I had my little pad and pen. I was just, you know, saying, oh, God spoke to me so much, Pastor Chuck. Where did you go to Bible school? Because that's where I want to go. Could you just tell me right now? I'd like to write it down. And he goes, really, I believe that you ought to just move to Costa Mesa and start going to Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. We go through the Bible, you see, Ray, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. So I was like, okay, I'll go to church there, but, and you go through the Bible, and he goes, we have Bible studies every night. And I was like, where do I live? And he goes, we have these house ministries. We have the House of Psalms. You could move in there. House of Psalms, never heard of it in my life. He gets in his car and drives off. So I call up and I find out. I'm 17 years old. I end up now leaving San Diego. Total U-turn in my life. And I live in a house ministry, basically a Christian commune, back in 1975, the mid-70s, with 40 other crazy people. Many of them are ex-drug addicts, and I don't have that same background, but halfway house, guys that were, you know, got out of jail, and they couldn't quite put them, you know, in prison, so they said, well, here, go to this house. They take people and help them, and so there I was for a year. It was crazy. It was totally crazy, and it was like an intense year training. It was like an ER unit of human beings. And God said, you want a minister? There you go. People, human beings who are strung out on drugs, you know, guys that are in jail, prison, violent fights, you know, all the addictions of the flesh, bring to them now the word minister, live with them and go to church with them and watch my power at work. That was my training for a year. After a year, they started a Bible school, Calvary Chapel Bible School. You know, and so I said, oh, good, you know, good, some good formal training. I'm going to the Calvary Chapel Bible School. So I went. You know how long it was? 13 weeks. One semester. There was no second semester. They were thinking about it, talking about it. Now they have a 2-year Bible college, you know, certified program that's 45 minutes up the road at Murrieta. And it's awesome. It's amazing. But in 1975 or whatever, it was 13 weeks. And there was no graduation. There was no diploma. They got to the end. There were like 45 of us. And they just said, so we'll pray for you. And they prayed for us. They said, now just go do something for God. So that, you know, between the time, it had taken by all of that a couple of years. So I'm 20 years old. I met Vicky at the Bible school, got married, and I'm trying to get a job. I don't have a job, and I'm starting a Bible study in my parents' home out in El Cajon, which would turn into Calvary Chapel El Cajon. My first job was actually washing windows. I got a Bible college friend of mine, and we bought some squeegees and a couple of buckets and towels, and we would go to rich people's homes over on the coast, and we said, oh, we'll make your windows look like pure transparent gold. So we kind of made a little bit of money, but soon realized we're not going to be able to make a living that way and or be able to support a family. So we took our money, and we went to Sears, and we bought a lawnmower, and we were going to become landscape architects. Let me just say, thank God that I do not do your lawns, okay? Because I wasn't very good at it. And then we did that for a while. And we said, no, this is like way too much work. So we decided, let's go buy a buffer and we'll wax cars. We'll go to the rich areas. They got all these nice cars. We'll wax cars and then we'll surf a couple of days. And then, you know, meanwhile, Vicky's going, you're doing what? Anyway, finally, we went to Mike McIntosh's house, pastor there at Horizon, and I'm still just fresh out of Bible school, and I wanted to, you know, bless Mike and for him to see that God was, his hand was upon me and stuff. I said, Mike, we'd like to come and help you. So we started, we said, we'll take care of your lawn. He goes, well, okay. He goes, you know, we've got this bank, we got all these weeds. Could you guys get rid of all the weeds? So we said, yeah, no problem. So we go to the store and we bought a big thing of poison weed killer stuff. We thought we read the directions, but we didn't do so well because we thought we could just take, and we just sprayed everything. We just sprayed, and we sprayed everything. 3 days later, Mike's entire, everything turned pink and died. Mike goes, what did you do? We said, well, if we would pull each individual weed, we wanted to help it along. He goes, you helped it all right. So he said, oh, Mike, we feel really, really bad. Oh, my goodness. I don't know what. Hey, could we buff your car? Because he had an old, this Chevrolet station wagon that had kind of these wood panel sidings. And I really wasn't very good at that either. And so I had that, but I got up near the hood next to the little, you know, it was an old car, but a pristine car. Mike liked the old cars and had the silver Chevrolet letters. So I got up near the front, wanted to make it look nice, and all, bing! Oh! The C went in somewhere. Ah! Ooh! I'll be, you know, and so my buddy's going, go easy on that. All right. And so I went real easy on that one. Then the H went, boom! It looked like a pumpkin, the teeth, missing letters and everything. And then I go, so I thought, oh, I better work on the sides. The side panel pops off. It's like, oh, no. Mike goes, don't help me, please. No. I said, Mike, we feel so bad. We want to wash your windows. So we washed all of his windows. It rained that night. And finally, Mike just goes, you know, please, I pray that God will somehow bless you as a pastor, because you can't do anything else. I am a pastor by default. I think God looked at him, a poor boy can't do nothing. Give him the Bible, we'll see if we can bless him a little bit. So here I am.
Pastor Ray Bentley, recounting his personal journey into the pastorate. And next time, he'll have more from this study in the book of Titus here on Maranatha Radio. Now, today's broadcast is available on CD for just $7. Get in touch and ask for the message called Character and Characters. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Titus on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com. Or here's where to write: Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Do you like surprises? Well, you'll find a number of them in Pastor Ray's brand new book called The Holy Land Key. It's for those who are real students of Bible prophecy and for those who want to be. And it digs deeper and uncovers insights perhaps you've never heard before. Some of the things Pastor Ray uncovered surprised even him.
I think one of the most unique characters that totally blew my mind, that I found out is probably Jewish, was Christopher Columbus. It has huge implications for the United States, for our country, for America, but also for the relationship between Jews and Gentiles.
For many years, Pastor Ray has partnered with God's people in Israel, including Judea and Samaria, the area known as the West Bank. Now he's combined that unique perspective with his knowledge of Bible prophecy to bring you The Holy Land Key. The subtitle is Unlocking End Times Prophecy Through the Lives of God's People in Israel. You'll see how God's master plan can be seen in the seven feasts of the Lord. And Pastor Ray explains the many ways Israelis are hearing from God today. Let us send you your own personal copy of The Holy Land Key. It's available in our online store at maranatharadio.com. And if you have occasion to join Pastor Ray for one of his weekend services at Maranatha Chapel in northern San Diego County, be sure to catch him after the service and let him know you listen to Maranatha Radio. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Titus. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.